Okay. Bit more background noise, but so is life, and there we go. So, anyway, welcome to Seven Lords Blog UK. Seven Lords Blog UK. I am David, and today's post is going to be called What Do You Stand For? What do you stand for? So, here's a quote from Wonderopolis. The title of the article is What Does It Mean to Stand for Something? And here's a quote. But what exactly does it mean to stand for something? Rather than the opposite of sitting, it means to hold firmly to a particular opinion or belief. To stand for something means you give your wholehearted support. End quote. According to the Collins Dictionary / Thesaurus, to stand for something has three meanings or connotations. One is to represent something, hence it has synonyms such as to mean, or to exemplify, or to denote. Another connotation is to tolerate. So to stand for something can mean to tolerate something. Hence, synonyms such as to suffer, to bear, to endure. To suffer, to bear, or endure. And the last connotation is to support. Hence, it has synonyms such as to champion, to promote, to recommend. Is that last meaning, to wholeheartedly support, that is relevant to this post? And I'll come back to it. According to the Seven Laws for Humanity, as described in the Torah tradition, the base obligations of a human being not Jewish is to avoid certain forbidden actions. The core laws do not directly govern beliefs or thoughts, only actions. Unfortunately, that is made unclear by some teachers that state that certain beliefs are commanded by the seven core laws. But at least in the context of this post, I won't focus on that. So a Gentile who hasn't committed acts of injustice, God cursing, idol worship, theft, murder, incestuous or adulterous sex, bestiality, or living meat eating the meat taken from an animal whilst alive, they have fulfilled or obeyed the seven laws, regardless of thoughts or belief. It's important to set that foundation here, because where I will go next will show itself to be more a philosophical point, one dealing with thoughts and beliefs, and not necessarily a seven laws legal point. Now, amongst Gentiles that knowingly and willingly, maybe even devotedly, keep the seven laws, there are those who have a strong allegiance to the values and laws of their country. By country, I mean a people group owned by a certain gang called government. I've already discussed the fact of population ownership by government mafia in a previous article, so I'm not going to dwell on it here. You'll see from previous posts, there are those who stand for British values, and there are those that stand for their American Constitution. According to what I've read, the fact that amendments have been ratified makes them part of the Constitution. I'm going to call these people Noahides, since many call themselves by that name and generally associate keeping the seven laws with also a conscious belief in their divine Mosaic origin. So there are a fair amount of nationalistic Noahides or patriotic Noahides, and yet those Noahides will say they stand for the seven laws. I want to repeat something here. The seven laws are the standard, the basic standard for non-Jewish humanity. It applies to individuals and thus groups, and therefore government and their laws, to the rights and values created by such governments. Those seven laws prohibit injustice, cursing God by his name, the active worship of idols, etc., etc. So I'm going to compare British and American standards that patriotic Noahites claim to stand for, support, and wholeheartedly give credence to, and compare them with the seven laws that those people who also claim to stand for, champion, and promote. Not only that, but let me also compare the common view of Noahide that many stand for, namely a God devotee or an acknowledger who keeps the seven laws based on that acknowledgement, with the values of the country those Noahides also stand for. I can hear someone say, "Oh no, David, I can see where you're going with this." And I'm sure you can. Anyway, Wow, she's noisy, isn't she? So, according to Article 9 in Schedule 1 of the Human Rights Act 1998 in UK law, there is such a thing as freedom of thought, conscience, and religion, in which it states, and I'm quoting, "Everyone has the right to freedom of thought, conscience, and religion." This right includes freedom to change his religion or belief, and freedom, either alone or in community with others, and in public or private, to manifest his religion or belief in worship, teaching, practice, and observance. Now, end quote. In an amendment to the American Constitution, it states the following: Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion, nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. That was a quote from the US Constitution Amendment 1, the First Amendment. And I've just finished that quote. As you can see, British and American law protects the exercise, the manifestation, the active worship of all manner of gods. If you look at the whole depiction of the right in British law, you'll see there a clearer rendering of the fact that such a so-called right is actually limited by the dictates of the political gang, that people don't truly have freedom of religion unless that religion submits to the true higher power, which is the state. Anyway, that's a different subject. The main point is that when a nationalistic Noahide stands for the US Constitution or British values, or that of any country that espouses similar values, they say that they give their wholehearted support to the legal protection of the active worship of various religions, including idolatrous ones. But compare this stance to the seven laws, and I quote from Mishnah Torah, Laws of Kings and Wars, Chapter 9, Law 2, and here's a quote, "A Gentile who worships false gods is liable, provided he worships them in an accepted manner. A Gentile is executed for every type of foreign worship which a Jewish court would consider worthy of capital punishment. However, a Gentile is not executed for a type of foreign worship which a Jewish court would not deem worthy of capital punishment." End quote. So the seven laws oppose active worship of other gods. Add to that the following teaching, which is taken from the same place, but this time Chapter 10, Law 9, where it says, quote, "The general principle governing these matters is this: Gentiles are not to be allowed to originate a new religion or create divine commandments for themselves based on their own decisions," end quote. So the core divine morality for Gentiles rejects the existence of novel religions throughout time. So what does a patriotic Noahide stand for and support? The legal protection of the free expression of active worship of other gods, the existence and practice of religions, or the prohibition against such practices and religions? It can't be both. A person cannot stand for fully supporting the legal protection of idolatry and religionism on one side and fully supporting the legal prohibition of such things. Such a thing or that is called self-refutation or self-contradiction. I can already hear a counter-argument. But David, such a prohibition, even if divine, isn't practical right now. We don't live in a time where the seven laws are upheld by nations or communities. So surely we have leeway to support the best practical system we have now, which would be that of my own country at present. Oh man, I'd love to hear such reasoning with regards to murder. Remember, the seven laws are the most basic standard for Gentiles given by God, as well as being intended to be implemented legally. They are a code of morality as well. Thus, the argumentation is saying that because morality isn't practical right now, we have leeway to give our full support to immorality. If one therefore lives in a land where theft and murder and sexual immorality are prevalent, the seven laws not being practical, one can give their full support to the legal protection of murderers and thieves. What great logic. On a side note, supporting government in our Gentile lands normally ends up giving support to legal protection of the immoral. Just look at Hillary Clinton or Tony Blair. Anyway, this sort of reasoning makes God's commandments something of a convenience. When it becomes inconvenient, they can be legally abrogated, and the Noahide would stand for such an abrogation. And thus such a Noahide cannot be said to stand for the seven laws. Now, it would be my normal modus operandi to belabor the point, going through each place and point where the stance of standing up for values of a country's government contradicts the seven laws or wider human morality. But why hammer the point on one who chooses to read this? Because the point of all this is very simple, and I'll reiterate it. The seven laws govern actions, not beliefs. So I cannot condemn the patriot Noahide for an evil act against the seven commandments. Unless they vote. Anyway, no, leave that alone. And let me leave that alone. Unless they vote. But when I look for faithfulness to the seven laws, the way they judge the actions and laws of humanity, then it cannot be found... So remember this, when I look for faithfulness to seven laws, then it cannot be found in the nationalist who gives wholehearted support, which is what it means to stand for, to a system that opposes that of the seven. What makes this a bit strange is that those who call themselves Noahides and their rabbis teach that a so-called Noahide is one who keeps the seven laws because God commanded them to Noah. Yet the nationalist Noahide supports systems of government or values that are anti-truth and anti-God. Now, does that make sense? Hey, says the Noahide, you can only be a Noahide if you believe God gave the law. Oh, okay. Now let me champion anti-God or godless systems of people control. That makes sense, doesn't it? Huh? Again, I'm not going to again bring up the contradiction between what I see as a greater morality and government, like a document or belief that a gang can make loans and make their victims and their future generations pay the cost. It's okay. I know rabbis teach that people are the properties of the government, so that makes it okay, right? Not. I won't focus on each of the seven laws and spout out my deep abhorrence for the successful bullies called government due to the way they help screw up world morality, being very influential in screwing up the minds, hearts and lives of people. No, I won't do any of that, as I think I've made the point. It's great to be a person who avoids those acts God forbade us Gentiles. It's fulfilling, not commanded, but fulfilling, to know it is God who gave those prohibitions. But how many people push past the simple inner conviction about God and Torah, push past the religious and spiritual bits, push past the nice feelings of doing what he says, or reading and studying a book from a rabbi, push past all of that, and crave a consistency between private life, seven law convictions, and political life? Oh well, life goes on. And that's it. That is the end of the article. Once again, I appreciate your time. Hope you have a great day, a great life, and goodbye.